Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, there's like gastronomical, like foodie kind of things kind of getting a little bit. Like it was already in the beginning when I'm starting. They call it farm to table. I like to call it barf to table. It's just like...
Hi, I'm Helen Holliman, Editor-in-Chief of Munchies, and welcome back to Munchies, the podcast. On today's episode, we're hanging out with Cole Alexander and Jared Swilly, founding members of Vice Records' very own Black Lips. The Black Lips have been making music for nearly 20 years, and their live shows are the stuff of legend. Their raw take on garage rock is one of Atlanta's greatest exports. So we're going to talk about Southern food, the secrets of eating well on the road, and how to cure your worst hangover before you have to perform on stage. They also have a brand new album out called Satan's Graffiti or God's Art, which was produced by none other than Sean Lennon. We'll get some stories from those recording sessions, including what it was like to eat Japanese food with the one and only Yoko Ono.
Yeah, I'm Jared. I play bass and sing in the Black Lips.
Hi, I'm Cole, and I play guitar and sing as well in Black Lips.
All right, so first off, congratulations on your new album.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You guys recorded this album upstate at Sean Lennon's compound. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Oh, it was fantastic. We were just whisked away to the mountains, and it was beautiful, and saw deer and turkey every morning and saw a beautiful sunset.
Yeah, you know, it's gorgeous.
Every time when we were starting to record, we'd see the sun go down. And
did you guys check for deer ticks?
Actually, everyone wanted us to wear these special socks to walk down, because I would always walk down to the studio and there's a lot of tall grass.
I never wore
the socks, but they said a lot of people get, what's that thing you get when you're tired? Yeah, Lyme disease.
Sean got it.
I have it.
You have
right.
it?
He has
too?
It too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all about catching it early, though, right? Did you catch it early?
No.
Otherwise, you'd be really tired right now.
I'm really tired all
you
the time.
You are?
Oh. Yeah.
It's crazy. I heard they can't figure it out, you know?
Yeah, you just got to, like, check under your armpits and wear socks. It's weird. Yeah.
I used to get ticks all the time. Yeah, I guess we don't have Lyme disease in Georgia because I go paintballing all the time when I was a kid. I get ticks constantly. I even have my aunt one time had to. Well, I got one on my nuts, and I didn't know what to do. So eventually, like, when it started getting bigger, I finally was like, hey, I don't know what to do about this. And she had to help me get it off. And that was kind of emasculating.
Traumatizing.
How'd she get it? With, like, a little...
match head.
Oh, old school.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were out in the country. But my cousin made fun of me for the rest of the summer for that.
So how long did it take you guys to record this album?
I don't know.
Did we go two or three times or something?
We went like two different sessions since we were touring and Sean was touring at the same time. So we went once in the spring and then everyone had to tour during the summer and then we finished it like, I guess like about 1 year ago.
I think it's the first time we ever recorded the whole album at one place, right?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the first time we ever did that.
So walk me through, like, a normal day for you while you were recording. I'm more interested in the eating process during the day,
okay,
but, like, walk me through your
there schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, food was good. We'd wake up in our cabin, and there'd be a big spread of everything because we were a little pampered. There was a guy that brought us stuff.
Yeah.
And so there'd be snacks and apple cider vinegar and...
Yeah, and they have Japanese delights, too, since they're a Japanese family. So, yeah, we'd do a lot of miso soup and onigiri with plums.
Yeah, we had like a rice maker in our thing, so you could do the Japanese rice.
Oh, Sean taught me this one thing. He would get like a rice.
Oh, the raw egg?
Yeah, throw a raw egg in the rice and then like mix it up and put a little soy sauce, and it was really good.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, soy sauce, raw egg, rice. And then maybe some bonito flakes or something like that, or seaweed flakes. That was really good.
And then at night, like they'd come in with, you know, one night we'd have an Italian night. You know, so they'd always have this guy cooking for us. And all they grow all the vegetables, so it was pretty.
Yeah, they have a greenhouse.
It was actually like good eating for being in the studio, because usually when you're in the studio, you're just eating crap all the time. And so, yeah. But we were actually well fed.
They got these really good pickles from New York. There was like some kosher deli that was like really the best pickles I ever had. I would drink like the juice. I like drinking pickle juice.
Wait, so what kind of typical stuff are you guys eating when you are in the studio? If you're not at, you know,
well, it all depends. Like last time we recorded down the street. Somewhere off of Bedford for an album before, and there's this Japanese place across the street, and we used to always get stuff, and they had raw liver, and we got that, but we gave it to Mark Ronson was recording our album, and so we had this song called Raw Meats. We're like, oh, you gotta try the raw liver, and then he got sent to the hospital for that. We had to call his mom to pick him up, and no, he was like had like 100 and something degree temperature. We think it was that.
Did you guys eat any of it, or you were just like, you?
Yeah, we did
this?
Too, but we got trash can stomachs. I guess he didn't.
Wait, so yeah, describe, walk me through your average. What kind of stuff are you eating if you're at home, not on the road?
If I'm at home, my girlfriend cooks for me all the time. She makes a lot of good. She's from kind of a Portuguese part of the country, and she makes me a lot of Portuguese food. And I don't really go out to eat very much. We just pretty much cook at home. I don't do it. I like cook the meat and stuff like that and do the dishes, but I don't really, I can't cook myself really.
Yeah, like we were talking about me and Jerry, we like a lot of like people from other countries that make like better food. You know, like they have really good Mexican in Los Angeles where I live, Peruvian. In Atlanta, we have a neighborhood called Buford Highway. Has a lot of like Vietnamese and stuff like that.
Tell me more about Buford Highway. Do you guys
go
there?
Well, Buford Highway is not Southern food. I like Southern food a lot.
Yeah.
It's harder to find in Atlanta now. Like the restaurants that the dining scene in Atlanta, I guess it's catching steam and people like it a lot. I personally don't like that. Even friends of mine who open restaurants, that's not really my thing because it's $200 to go out anywhere. And they do like, oh, we got soul food. Soul food's supposed to be cheap. The reason soul food exists is because it was stuff poor people could make. Collard greens, you know, neck bones.
Yeah, I don't like when they try to make it all fancy.
But now you can go to a place where you can get $19 side of collard greens. And you can't get a normal beer. Everything's a tasty beer. Why can't you have... What about a Budweiser? Let's just do a Budweiser.
Yeah, there's like gastronomical, like foodie kind of thing. It's kind of getting old. Like
that's annoying.
It was already in the beginning when I'm starting. They call it farm to table. I like to call it barf to table. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah, they overdo everything and like think about things too much, I think. Like,
and it's like bougie Southern kids. Like, how can we fancy this up?
Yeah, let's, like it's good the first time. You didn't have
to. Yeah, why did you fuck with it? We don't have to fuck with it at all. I understand you not wanting to make everything swim and fat back. Fine. Fair enough. I like my fat back, but.
But, you know, you look at Buford Highway, which is one of the most, you know, culturally diverse places in America. It's kind of like LA is very sprawling with like every kind of cuisine that you could want. I've never been to Buford Highway, but I've heard that the banh mi on Buford Highway is crazy.
Yeah, Lee's Bakery has the best banh mi in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the most ethnically diverse place in the United States per, like, square mile or something like that, I read.
It's a really ugly stretch of road.
Yeah, it's
like,
not
it's hideous. But,
people get hit on it really
bad, too. Yeah, people try to cross the street
They try to cross and not do the red light because it's so long from one red light to the next. So these families, like, run across their kids and then they'll get hit. I thought we should build, like, one of those bridges over it so you could walk over. I was going to make, like, a foundation to make a bridge. So people didn't hit my cars. It's really dangerous.
So if the mayor of Atlanta is listening, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Take that in, Kasim.
Yeah. Well, so
yeah,
you guys,
really good banh mi. Yeah.
I mean, because
they have Western Chinese food.
Good Chinese
food,
too. Yeah. What was that place that your mom used to really like?
Chinese?
Yeah, she took me. Well, I went there one time with her for dinner, and you didn't go.
Oh yeah, was it a place with like ducks hanging in the window?
No, it wasn't that one. It was the one
Chef Lou's.
Yeah, Chef Lou's.
Yeah, that place is awesome.
That place is. I've never had Chinese food that was like that.
Yeah, they have like this that one, and there's like another one like Western Chinese, and there's like Muslim Chinese restaurants, which is really interesting. Like you almost have like a kind of Middle Eastern flair, like lamb with like cumin and weird spices and stuff. I had a bull penis at one of those restaurants. That was weird.
Delicious.
It was kind of chewy. It wasn't that good. True. I kind of just ate it for the novelty.
So you guys have known each other for over 20 years, right?
Oh, all our lives almost.
Yeah. So you know each other very well in a way that...
13 or something.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Some would say.
I think your tastes kind of grow together, too, if you hang out with someone a long time. Like,
yeah.
We like find things together. When we first travel to Europe, you know, we learn about new things and...
Yeah, we did. Our taste buds grew together as well.
Yeah. Like, I've noticed, too, if I have, like, a girlfriend, like, we'll kind of start eating similar. Like, she'll turn me on to something, or I'll turn her on. I think if I clash too much with someone's food, like, I can't hang out with them.
Yeah, I have a strained relationship with a sibling of mine because he only eats, like, beige foods. And to the point where I won't go out to, like, he thinks Mexican food's crazy. So he loses a lot of respect points. For me, just he's like, you won't even try it. I had to trick him into some of my friends are real big into hunting, so I have free meat most of the year in my freezer because they kill one buck and it's like 90 pounds. And he thought it was weird to eat deer meat, so I tricked him into eating a deer burger and he loved it. And yeah. Then afterwards, he was like gagging, like, oh, what's the difference? It's a dead animal.
If it was like processed through McDonald's,
yeah, it's worse. Like, McDonald's is way nastier. Than a beautiful buck that was raised on the land just eating nuts and leaves.
So yeah. You guys have, I mean, because you have traveled the world together, tell me your interpretation of the other's palate and what the other is eating on the road.
The other?
Of each of you.
I know exactly what he's eating. He's eating soup everywhere he goes.
Oh, yeah, I like soups a lot. It's just easier to digest for me, I think. I like drink a lot and have acid reflux. It's easier to stomach.
So even in, like, 105 degrees, you're...
Yeah. Well, in Vietnam, I heard, too, they'll eat the pho because, you sweat and then it cools you off.
In Thailand, they were eating, like...
It's brutal.
The hottest shit. It's, like, 110 degrees outside and the hottest soups you could ever imagine. That's breakfast. And I guess you're supposed to, like, sweat it out. Even in the Middle East, you drink, like, hot tea when it's
super the other theory out. I heard, too, is that you start off, like, really hot in the day and then everything after that's cooler than what you started with, so it feels better.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
After.
So what are you eating?
Negative.
You eat soups.
Oh, what
is he eating? Yeah.
Well, today we weren't able to eat.
I had a mild freak out and jumped out of the van while it was moving because it's hard to get food on tour. And tour manager, he eats bad. Okay. Let me just get a little bit off my chest here about our tour manager. You're supposed to eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. He does it the opposite. He'll starve himself all day, and then right before he goes to bed, just gorge himself. And that is not good for your inner clock. I know I do a lot of things that aren't good for me, but he just does it opposite. So I kind of had a freak out because it's hard to... What I eat on the road is anything I can get in my mouth because it's always rushed to get everywhere. Oh, we're in such a hurry all the time. So now I'm not going to eat. So I kind of admitted I did have a freak out and I flung the van door open and jumped out while it was moving and then sat on a bench and refused to move.
Yeah, we get in fights with our tour managers a lot about wanting to stop to eat.
Tour managers hate food. They hate eating.
Because they have to be somewhere like a sound check.
It's like, well, what if I show up there and I'm dead? There's no show then, and then you're out of a job.
Yeah, I like being late. Who cares?
Well, yeah, being late's cool.
Do you guys snack? I mean, because surely, like, if you stop at a gas station, like, what are you grabbing?
Hot fries. Ooh. I like those. Yeah. Boiled peanuts if you're in the right part
of
the
country. Yeah, boiled peanuts, I like. That's a southern thing.
Beef jerky, that'll last you. That doesn't go bad.
Yeah, we do a lot of jerky.
Can hide that all over. I got my girlfriend snuck in a big bag of candy because I'm not going to be there for Halloween, so she put a bag of the Halloween candy, which I just found this morning. Thanks, Meredith.
All right, so let's talk about riders because everyone has an interesting rider. What is on yours?
Socks. That's number one. Socks, whiskey, beer, and water.
We had, I think for a while, I don't know if we saw it, we had fresh coconuts with a machete so we could cut them open and drink the coconut juice.
Sounds ideal.
We had Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which we got one time. I can't remember where. I think it was up here in the Windy Apple.
I think it was when we did that thing at the Webster Hall before Green Day played upstairs, and I forgot who paid for it. Spin, I think, like paid for it or something.
Yeah, we got Sports Illustrated. Hey, we got SIGs. In Europe, we have an English newspaper. That's about it. Isn't that crazy?
We used to have condoms, but now we have girlfriends, so we don't need that anymore.
Well, all right. I want to talk about a couple different artist writers and get your perspective to see, like, if you could choose whose writer you want to deal with, who would it be? So, first off, Trent Reznor has the following, which is two boxes of cornstarch, Budweiser, Bud Light, very good red wine, soft drinks, Gatorade.
What's up with the
That's
starch?
That's reasonable. What's cornstarch?
Oh, he starches his pants. I've always wanted to do that.
What is cornstarch? Everything's reasonable except for the cornstarch. That's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little funny.
Let's have your mom pack that for you.
I heard Marilyn Manson would get like a raw steak, but he wouldn't eat it. It was just like freak people out. Like, ooh, he eats this like T-bone.
He actually has a good writer. I don't have it on here, but I know that he has like absinthe and really good wine. And he, strangely, I don't know. It sounded kind of appealing. All right, so.
I think we don't have anything fancy, really. We have red wine, but I just assumed they wouldn't give us something if we wanted if it was too fancy. I think if we were as big as them, I'd probably ask for some crazy shit.
All right, so Metallica asks for hot breakfast for 100 people, which must include a lot of fresh fruit.
That's like a catering company you need at that point.
Yeah. This is inspiration for you guys in the future, by the way. Yeah. So 2 gallons of every juice you can think of. 9 or so different brands of cereal, assorted sodas and Gatorade, hot coffee that must be kept very, very hot. Also, I'm noticing...
That's totally Lars talking.
Also, everyone seems to like Gatorade. That's like a key.
I like Gatorade when I'm hungover, which is like right now. Yeah, it's like really good. As I can't hold down the water usually, but Gatorade can hold down for some reason.
Coconut
water.
Send
electrolytes. We were on a coconut water tip for a while. We kind of got over it. And we heard it doesn't hydrate you much more, and it makes you shit your pants if you've been drinking. So it's kind of overhyped, we found out. We fell for it for a minute, though.
I'm still falling for it.
You can get fresh, on our rider, we have fresh coconuts. If you get real coconut, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
You can't fuck with that.
All right, so Cher requires black solo cups, fresh lilies,
Diva,
M&Ms, soda and any kind of alcohol, and pizza.
I thought she'd have some more highfalutin shit for a
you
diva.
You would think, right?
It's a simple diva.
But
and basic.
I think Grace Jones really takes it all.
Yeah,
so
what she got?
6 bottles of Cristal champagne, 3 bottles of French vintage red wine.
That's what I'm talking about.
3 bottles of French vintage white wine, 2 dozen oysters.
I want her writer.
She's
unopened.
We just played a festival with her last
year. Oh, so she shucks them herself?
She requires an oyster shucker. As in an oyster knife to shuck them. It's unclear if she shucks them herself.
There is one thing to a writer. You never know what you get till you ask. So it's like, why not try? They can always mark it off, you know? So she might as well just try.
She's clearly like an oyster connoisseur because she also
needs... I love oysters. That's my favorite food.
I mean, it's the greatest...
I want to hang out with her. We did a festival with her last year in L.A. She was great.
I mean, you guys... Do you know how to shuck oysters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to watch out because you get hep C if you fuck up.
We have an annual... thing we're going to start. We did it once. We're going to keep doing it with our buddy King Khan, where we get a bushel and we get like a vintage wine and we just shuck them all night. I kind of learned how to shuck them the last time. There's always that hard one that you can't get that would drive us all crazy.
Then you just got to set it down and move on to the next one.
There's the two methods. There's the back one and then the side method. And there's certain knives. There's 2 knives for both those methods, I believe. So I want to get that knife really bad.
You need to, yeah, I think you should open
it. It's just a dull knife.
Oyster
bar. It's just that you can buy special ones for that. I don't know what it's called. I guess it's just a shark.
So if the idea that like these writers reflect the artists, what do you think your writer says about you guys?
We're just simple guys.
Yeah. Kind of makes us not a flattering look on us.
I want that Super Nintendo classic on my writer. I've been eyeing that. Those are hard to get.
You should have video games on your writer.
See, I mean, like, I love Sea Urchin. I'd like to ask that, but I don't trust just anybody bringing that to me.
No, you have to bring that. You have to catch that yourself.
Yeah, it's like, I don't...
Maybe you should have, like, a seafood tower on your writer. That's the vibe I'm getting.
I just imagine it, like, sitting out and festering all day. And I just...
Yeah, because we've gotten deli trays backstage that are off. And if you can fuck up broccoli, then I don't want you to mess with shellfish.
One smart thing you gotta ask our European tour manager to us is always ask for local specialties, because one time we were like in Spain and these guys were like munching on all this. They were the opening act and they had a better ride than us. All this chorizo and like
they had all that
and all this great sausages. I was like, why we just had this like basic,
and we had Doritos
cheese, like American cheese with the plastic, because we were American. They like thought we wanted that. And it was because our writer says, like, we want, like, ham and cheese or something. But we wanted that. And he's like, you have to ask for local specialties on your writer.
Yeah, you can't, like, in the States, not so much. But when you're over, they do, like, in Europe or South America, then you can ask, like, oh, I'm sure y'all got something interesting from around here. I mean, you can't be doing that in Pennsylvania or Ohio.
But, yeah. Get some.
Wind up with Scrapple.
Yeah,
yeah, well, I like Scrapple.
Get some cheddar. I love Scrapple. Yeah, some cheese. So, all right, where are some of the greatest cities that you enjoy being in, despite the fact that you're working?
My favorites are New Orleans, Montreal, Tokyo, Berlin,
Istanbul.
Istanbul's Mexico City and Istanbul are two of my favorites as well.
Lisbon's pretty great.
Yeah, Lisbon's grown on me a lot lately. Paris is pretty fun. Bordeaux.
I really like Cape Town. I mean, all the cities are fun except for there's very few cities that truly suck.
Every
I'm not gonna name any of those.
Major Latin American city I've been to is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we did Bogota. That was wild.
I kind of like, I hate to say it, but the bigger the city, it's kind of like the better. Like, that's why I like Istanbul and Mexico City so much. They're just massive. And you just have something for everybody. And they have better 24-hour culture and really big cities, which I like, because I'm a late owl.
So since you're a late night owl.
I live on the dark side of the earth.
Well, what's your hangover cure?
That's a good question. I like pickle juice, and I think that helps me retain the water. I gotta drink Gatorade stuff too.
Mine's a beer for...
Hair of the dog?
Yeah, just a beer just to get through, and then you just... I like sweating a ton, like, especially if it's summer in Atlanta or somewhere where it's hot, sweat the shit out of it, and then just keep drinking gallons and gallons of water.
Yeah.
You just keep going. Like, the worst thing for a hangover is laying there and whining about it.
Getting in the ocean, because, like, the Pacific Ocean is really cold. It, like, shocks you.
Yeah, the oceans.
It makes you feel really good.
But don't you think, like, so I lived in New Orleans for about 10 years.
They drink their asses off. I leave sick every time.
Yeah, but don't you think, especially because you're from Atlanta, because it's so hot, there is something to, like, sweating and drinking.
Yeah, it goes away.
Yeah.
If you go outside and it's 90 degrees with 100% humidity, hangover's gone.
You just got to restore some, like, water.
And in New Orleans, you're going to have a drink when you wake up anyhow.
Oh, they have the best drinks, too. I like the Bloody Marys and Ramos Gin Fizzes.
Thank you so much to Cole Alexander and Jared Swilly of The Black Lips, David Merrick here at Vice for setting this up, and as always, thanks so much to my incredible podcast producer, Phil Domachowski. Satan's Graffiti or God's Art is out now on Vice Records. Go check it out. If you've been listening to the show, you already know about our very first cookbook. It's called Munchies, Late Night Meals from the World's Best Chefs.
It is the greatest cookbook that has ever been created, but I'm completely biased. It's filled with 65 recipes from your favorite chefs. You can order a copy online, or even better, buy it in person and support a local retailer. You'll find it wherever books are sold. As always, you can get all of our delicious Munchies content over at munchies.tv. Hit us up at Munchies on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook too. And if you like the show some love and rate it on iTunes. It really does help us out. I'm Helen Holliman. I'll talk to y'all real soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.